Today's daf in Masechet Sota, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKedesh, is a daf Mem Dalet. And we're still holding at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And we'd spoken about a lot of Limudim yesterday, once we had gotten onto the Dinim about the Orla, and about the only way we got into that was because we were interested in knowing what type of Mais of Harkava or so on would be considered to be not something that would potter you because there was an Avera that was involved. So we already got into a number of Limudim that Rav Dimi had said over that Rav Yochanan had taught B'Shem Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov. So once we did that, we said a number of other ones. And I think, pretty sure that we had gotten up to the Kiyosar of Dimi about the mace. I'm not sure if we did that one. So let's continue with that. Kiyosar of Dimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum. Am I right? Is that correct? Okay. So Kiyosar of Dimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov made to face Arba Amot Likriyat Shema. Tichtiv Loig Lorash Cherif Osel. This halacha that you're not supposed to say Kriyat Shema in the presence of a mate is based on the pasuk that somebody who laughs, or a better word maybe is to disparage or to mock a person who is poor, meaning that somebody says Kriyat Shema around a mace and he's poor because he's unable to say that mitzvah. So that is as if you were mecharef chas v'chalil and mevorach Hashem. And so what is the shir for that? Within Arba Amos of the mace is considered to be an act of zilzal to the mace. Furthermore, now the truth is, we're going to be saying this Shemais of Rabbi Yochanan Shemel Leizer ben Yaakov, but today we're going to move on to those that were quoted by Rabbi Yitzchak, not by Rav Dimi, but it's still Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shemel Leizer ben Yaakov. So Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shemel Leizer ben Yaakov, Achur Geta Hagdela Ben Achin, so if you have a stepdaughter, and she grew up in the family, so everybody really looks at her and thinks that, for the past 20 years, she's been a child in the family. She grew up with these brothers. She's not allowed to marry a brother because it looks like a brother marrying a sister. But says the Gemara, that's not true. Because kala itlay lemilte. This is something that everybody talks about, you know? I mean, like, what a strange situation. So-and-so, you know, she was there the whole time, and everybody calls her the sister, and she ends up marrying her brother. I had this happen in my family, actually. So the mice of the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that it's mutter, and there's no chashash. Another thing that Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is that leket shikho upe'ah. Sha'asa'an begoren hukba'ula ma'aser. So even though the halacha is that once something was part of leket shikropea, it cannot be chayev in ma'aser, because the only chayev in ma'aser, as it says in the pasuk, is la'leviki ein lo chelik v'nachalayima. So you have to support him from the ma'aser. But when it comes to leket shikropea, the Ani Levi has exactly the same chelik as everybody else. You can't say ein lo chelik v'nachala. So why should you give him meiser for something that's just as much his as it is yours? That's the obvious limud that the Gemara brings. Nonetheless, if you have an Ani that collected a lot of leket shikropea and he puts it into a goren so that it looks like this came out of his own growing, it looks like every other pile that's out there. So because of that, since it looks like he made it, so therefore it becomes kavua minarabon, it becomes kavua lamaser, and he's mechuyev to take off maaser. So Ula said, but that's only true if it's piled up in the sada. But if this is something that is in his city, and he piles up a thing in his front yard, nobody's going to think that he grew it there. And everyone will see that it was put together little by little. So sometimes this is the meaning when it says that when Ruth came back from Boaz, she had this big pile, right? And it says that she shows Naomi et asher liketa, and then she gives her to eat. What's the pshat et asher liketa? Obviously it was et asher liketa. But she shows her that it doesn't look like normal goren. And it can be seen that this was collected from different places in the field, and therefore she gave her to eat. But otherwise, she would have to first take off Meiser to give her to eat. It's an absolutely adorable diuk. Wow. Okay, so that, kola eat later milta, everybody can see it. Yalda hapachuta mitefach. So this is kosher, as you could see, to the Rav Dimi mimer that we had before about bonsai trees. And over here, we're also talking about the same thing. If it's such a low-growing vine, it never grows more than a tefach. So because of that, it's eina mikadeshet et azraim. Because since lemaisa, now this is going, according to the Man d'Yomar, who holds that kiloi hakerem is only d'oraisa on those things that actually survive in the land. Like loof, we learned those kind of stuff is the arise. So the Rabbanan answered even seeds where the seed completely disappears. So those type of veggie seeds are asim in Rabbanan. And for something that was so small, the Chachamim didn't aser it to be kiloyim. Vahani milishtaim kinegetstaim viachat yotza zanab avokule kerem magdish. If this is just like a couple of trees, of vines. So even though, technically speaking, even two by two, with one extending outwards, that's a machlokas, whether the one extending outward, kizanav, means it's in the middle, or kizanav means it's on one side, like a zanav comes out on the top of the animal, that's a machlokas rishonim. But in any event, that's the sheer deraisa of a kerem. However, it is not very impressive as a kerem. It's only going to be impressive in people's minds if it looks like a real orchard. That requires at least 3 by 3 trees. So there, if it were a full-size kerem, if you paskin like that, I mean, that's the achronim that come up with that chasanish here, magdish, it is going to be considered to be a kuloya kerem, because even though it's so small, people are machshiv it because it's called a kerem. Okay. V'yom Reb Yitzchak, Om Reb Yochanan, Meshur Reb Yezer ben Yaakov, mate to face arba amot l'tum'ah. And you can see, it's so fascinating, right, that the inyanim of Reb Dimi, who was quoting Reb Yochanan in this way, are very similar to the things that Reb Yitzchak was quoting, but they're quoted l'gabe other issues. So earlier we had the question of whether the small tree is considered to be orla all the time. And he had the question whether a small tree is considered to be midrabon and a vine. And also Rikoloya Karen. Earlier we had the mace tefes bekoma legabi kriyashma. Here we have Rabbi Yitzchak talking about the mace tefes bekoma legabi tuma. So that would mean that the rabbonin were gozer, that when someone comes within 4 amas of a mace, even though obviously, or when it says of a mace means or of a kever, even though obviously there's no such tuma diaraisa, but the Rabbanan extended the tuma in order to make sure, in order to protect Eichle Tyrus, that a person wouldn't come to be accidentally tummy, and then it'll be matami, things will be marbatuma for Eichle Tyrus. So because of that, even within 4 amas of a kever, a person should realize, if he comes within 4 amas, he has to consider himself tummy. So that's true to what extent, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that the tfis of a mate is 4 amas. And in fact, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I can show you that this is true from a Mishnah, if you're Medayik, the Mishnah. So Vitana Tuna, as we learned in our Sugya in the Mishnah, and Ayala is Chatzer HaKever, HaOmeid B'Tocha Tohar. Now you remember we learned this together. And over there, what it's talking about is where you have the Kuchim, so that you have the Knisa. If only Gavi had gone this morning to Rabbi Elazar HaModai, he could have shown us exactly, but he's late. What happened to our Friday morning Siyur? You know, Vez Mir. Now we're going to be Semech on Barnea's neighborhood instead of an actual camera. Hey, yeah, yeah. Okay, but maybe we'll be Zecha during the week to be able to see it. So as you go down into the Mara, with the Kuchim into the Mara, so in front of that, there's a little Chotzer, which is the entrance into the Ma'ara. So it said in the Mishnah that a chotzer that is kavua there in front of the place where you go into the Kiforim, ha'omed betocha tohor. Now, so far, this doesn't prove anything. It's going to take us a minute till we get to the actual proof. And it specifies that hu shi'eh bar ba'amot. It's only if there's a shear of arba amos, then, according to Beit Shammai, that's called a chotzer. And if you go into that chotzer, then you're not tummy. But if it's small, then you'll become tummy. Beit Hillel Amrim, no. It only requires a shear of arba tvachim, which is tiny. I mean, what are you talking about? You know, like, you could barely stick yourself in there. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 1 foot by 1 foot, slightly bigger than 1 foot. So that, so far, is also not a riot. Now, here is where we get to the riot. Because the Brisa says like this, Bamed dvarim amurim shepitcha ben lamala, avo pitcha min atzad divri akol arba amos. If the opening is from the top, meaning you have to lower yourself into that chotzer, that's what we're talking about. But if there's stairs that are going down, so then, if the opening is to the stairs, everybody agrees it needs to be arba amos. What? Klapi Laya, where are you going? It's exactly the opposite. What? Think about the reasoning over here. Adarab. If the opening is min atzad, so we can see that by like Reb Elazar HaModoy, if the opening is min atzad, so then as you leave the kuchim, you're always going up and away. You're not going to get closer and closer. So over there, you should need less room. But if you have to go out from the top, you're going to have to climb out. Okay, how are you going to climb out? You're going to put your hands over the top. You're going to pull yourself up. But if you put your hands over the top, then it's very likely that your hands are going to end up over the kever. That's beneath you. So that's just the opposite. Over there, Yev Shadaloma Hill. There, you're really going to for sure become Tome. So this is backwards. Okay, you're right, says Gemara. Sorry, let's fix that. Ela bamed varim amurim shipitcha min atzad. Where do we have this machlokas? That's only where, according to Beit Hillel, since you can go out from the side, you don't have to worry about becoming tummy. But if you're going to have to climb out, then even Beit Hillel agrees you're going to have enough room, which is arba amot, in order to avoid becoming tummy from the crypts that are there. So we have these kuchim. Okay, so now, what is our raya? Here's the raya. That since it says over here, this whole halacha is ani milechatzer hakever, it's only because this area was isolated as a separate chotzer. So there, since it's besayma mechitzasa, there's a clear-cut indication, here is the end of the chotzer, here are the beginning of the kfarot. So over there, there's no problem of tuma. But if there's just a straight-out mate that is there, or a straight-out single kever that's there, then that would be tofes arba amos, and that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan had said, b'shem Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So you see from here that that's true. By the way, halacha l'maisa, this is very nogea to kohanim, so in terms of getting close to kvarim, so this idea of the mechitza is true about any mechitza. It's not only necessarily where we're talking about the chatzar hakever, because the mesaymi mechitzata means that it's clear that it's surrounded by the mechitza. However, the halacha is that that's only where the mechitza, it's not just the mechitza between the kohen and the mate. It's a mechitza that is all around, goes all around the kever, or all around the mate, then he's allowed to come within the area of the arba amos. And even there, there's supposed to be arba tvachim, at least that it keeps away. Halacha lamaisa, unless there's arba tvachim on the other side of the mechitza. There's a whole interesting shilas about in a place where the kohen has to pass, can he ask people to surround the kever, and that should be an actual mechitza. So, I mean, there's some achronim, the Shevet Levi paskens, that's okay. Then a mechitza b'nei Adam, we find very often, is considered to be a mechitza halacha. So he could be semech on that also. Okay, the next thing that we had was that we were talking about, after talking about what type of bayit and what type of kinyan of the bayit, what type of kerem and what type of kinyan of the kerem, we get to the bia isha sher eras isha and lo lekacha. So over there, the Mishnah says that even if she's an almona and she'd been married before, that's also called an isha, a new wife. So tana rabbana. So first of all, it says asher eras isha. But that doesn't mean it has to be like you think, a brand new isha. It doesn't matter. Echad amares et habitula, ve'echad amares et ha'almana, ve'echad shomer et yavam, v'afil chamisha achim, as we discussed, umet echad me'am b'milchama, kulam chozrim. Now, analyzing the pasuk, it says v'lo lekacha. Doesn't say v'lo lekach. Now, that is the equivalent of v'lo chincho, right? Which we were derish the vav. Over here we have a lola kacha, specifically her. Her as opposed to what? So this comes to tell me that if it's a Kohen Gadol that we're talking about over here, and he is me'uras to an almana, or a grush of a chalutza to Kohen Hedyet, or a mamzeret, or a netina Yisrael, or bat Yisrael, a mamzeret, or a netin, that does not pater him. Says the Gemara, does not pater him. Well, obviously, didn't we say that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, that any avera already paters you, because you're not allowed to go to war if you have an avera biyado. Aren't these all averas biyado? Unless you want to say that this Mishnah is the look of Rav Yossi Aglili. Because Rav Yossi Aglili, remember, he understood mi aisha yorei v'racha levav. That is someone who ought to be terrified of his averas. By the way, the Mefarshim speak out, doesn't matter whether he lemaisa is worried about his averas. This is clearly a din in the avera per se, and not his psychology about the averas. We'll see clearly in the discussions of the sugya later. So if that's the case, so then what do we need a special pasuk to tell me this halacha, if anyway he would be included in the ones who go home because you are a varach aleva? So apparently this is not going on to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. No, like we answered before with the guy who stole the house. Even if you want to say it's going on to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we could say, like, first of all, here we could say that he never was boil her, Kidarab, because the Isser is not in the marriage. It's not in the Erisin. The Isser is only in the actual Bia. The Omar Rabba la'olam eno chayev ad sheyiv ol. Why? Because it says, lo yikach ve'lo yichalel. So it's coming to tell me that only a lekicha that will end up being a chilol, that's only if he actually sleeps with her, so that he could be mechalel her. But the stam, the act of giving kiddushin, is not considered to be that which is mechalel. So mishumachi eno lokeh ad sheyivol. So therefore, since he hasn't done the chet yet, so he's not included in a yorei v'racha levav. So maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if it wouldn't have been for this pasuk, would have said that you would be chayzer. Kamash malan, that not. Now, of course, the issue over here is, as we spoke about, the strangest thing is that a Kohen would not be chayzer b'marchei ha'milchama, because he's not yotzei b'marchei ha'milchama, as we said, right? Shevet Levi isn't yotzei b'milchama under any and all circumstances. So what does that mean? That he wouldn't be chozer. It's really weird. I mentioned to you before, like, there those who are chalik on the Rambam, and maybe this was said only legabe nimilcham of the kivush of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a lot of other issues here. I mean, let's say, for instance, as we're going to talk about later, the question of, well, there's a basic question. Is the din of chazora a chiyav, or is the din of a chazora a heter? Must you be chozer me'archei ha'milchama, or you're allowed to be chozer? I mean, that would be the question. Because if, let's say, a Levi volunteers, or a Kohen Gadol volunteers, so then this would be saying he must be chozer. If you learn like that, that it's a din that he's mechuyev to be chozer. There are those that are chilek among the achronim. So that's one issue. But then there's another question. When we're talking about over here, as we're going to see very soon, we're talking about a milchemes harishos. Now, how about other types of milchama? So we said in terms of milchemes mitzvah, we'll talk about the idea of a milchemes chovah. Let's say in a case where goyim are attacking, And over there, you have to be Yotzei to be Matzil. So everybody is Chayav to be Matzil. Does everybody mean even Levi? This is very Nogea also in terms of Talmid HaChomim. Are Talmid HaChomim Yotzei because they are similar to Levi? If Levi would be Yotzei in these types of situations where even it says Chatan Michupato, Kala Michupata, would that include Levi? And then in the event that it would it include even those who normally would be forced to return because Mi Aisha Yorei V'Racha Leva? So does that not constitute a concern that will prevent the Hatzolah of Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu just because we need more people? Okay, these are all issues that are nogea very, very much lahalacha, obviously, and they are big machlokas. Because according to the Rambam, the Pashtus is that this is the Tzva Hashem, and he's eino yotzei for any purposes at all. Okay, very fascinating. What about this sugya libe de Rambam? Tana Rabbana. Now, we have three things that the Torah mentions here. Mi ha'ish asher bona bayit, mi ha'ish asher nata kerem, Mia Isha Sherirasi Shah Limda Torah Derecheret, says the Gemara, you have to learn something very important from here. Because this teaches you how to be a mensch. Because basically, you see from here, first, Yivne Adam Bayit, then Yitakerem, and then Achakach Yisa Isha. And therefore, you have to get your life in order. You need to have a career. You need to have a home. An income, then you can go and get married. Masha'en came to do it the other way around. Av Shlomo Amar b'chokhmato, achein b'chutz melachtecha, v'ata basadelach, achar uvanita beitecha. First, get your work ready. Then get yourself a future in the field. Then build your house. So achein b'chutz melachtecha zebayit. At da besadelach zakerem, achar uvanita beitecha zo isha. Okay, so this is the beautiful Rambam who brings this halacha l'maisa. Mi ayori v'rachalevav and so on and so forth. So as the Rambam says, that when it talks about the, I didn't bring the Rambam here. 1 second, I brought you the wrong Rambam. Hold on a minute. 1 second. The Lashon of the Rambam. Okay, I don't want to start looking around. But the Lashon of the Rambam is that the minig of the Tipshim is they'll do everything backwards. But the funny thing is that the Rambam changes the order himself. How in the world, if the whole in here is the way that you're supposed to be doing it, I'm still looking for the, because it's really striking. I'll watch the Rambam. Hold on, just 1 second. So, I'm so sorry. Yeah, here it is. Okay, sorry. So, derech ba'alei deya, sheyikbalu adam milacha. Now, listen to this. The Rambam doesn't follow the order of the pasuk. Yikbalo adam melacha amifarneset ota techila. That's the kerem, but the Torah put the bayit first, right? So he puts the melacha amifarneset ota techila. Achar kach yikne beit dira. But again, mamish, it's classic Rambam, right? Let's quote the Gemara, which is based on the pasuk, and then let's ignore the seder of the pasuk. So the derech is, first get yourself a parnasa, then buy yourself a house, and then find yourself a wife. My raya is, shenemar, mi ha'isha asher nata kerem v'lo chilalo, mi ha'isha asher bona bayit chadash v'lo chanach. He changes the order. Oh my gosh. How could he do this? Aval hatipshim, the idiots, matchilim lisa isha, and then, you know, okay. First, I'll get married. Then, if I manage somehow or other, I'll get myself a place to live. And then, I'll start going to college. And if not, we can always be mitpardes min hatzedakah, says the Rambam. That's what the idiots feel. V'cheinu omer, B'klalot. And take a look at the Seder and the Klalos. Isha te'ares, bayetivne, kerem tita. It goes in that order. So that's the backwards order. And that's exactly yuma asecha hafuchim, kedei shelo tatzliach et drachecha. So what's going on? So lemaisa, I think the most push, I mean, there's a lot of discussion because the Mishnah gives a Torah, but one of the most simple explanations of the Rambam is very simple. The Seder in the Pasuk is mia isha shenata kerem velo chilalo. But to be mechala the kerem takes 4 years. So memela, in terms of the order of what's going to come first, obviously we're going to talk about velo chilalo because that's not mia isha shenata kerem. That's 4 years later. When he's got net to revoy velo chilalo. That's why we have to talk about the thing that comes first would be in terms of the bayit. But that means that he planted the kerem way before that. Therefore, the Rambam puts it before. Mamish so sweet, right? Okay, anyway, continues the Gemara. So, and that's the simple meaning, is that it's referring to physical thing. But there's also a different way of understanding in terms of the person's limudat Torah. Dover acher. That's talking about the things that are all the way outside. Even kids can get to this. This refers to Tanakh. The atta basadalach, get your future in place in the field. That's referring to Mishnah. And then ubanita beitecha, then you can build your house, meaning you can really understand things. That is Gemara. Dover acher, others learn achen b'chutz malachtecha. Those are the things that are used to prepare. That includes mikra, that includes mishnah. Then get yourself a future. That's to understand Gemara and how to have a halacha l'maisa. And acher banita beitecha, what's the binyan of the bayit? Your actual life, ma'asim tovim, your mitzvahs, your midas teves, the way in which you have yourself, that requires a full-scale understanding of Torah first. And Reb Eliezer ben Osher, Reb Yosef Glili Omer, Achein b'chutz malachtecha includes everything. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. The future that you get yourself ready, that's the Maisim Tevin. And then Uvanita Beitecha, the Vanita Beitecha is to create the space for yourself in understanding of drosh v'kabel sachar. These are things that you're never going to get to l'maisa, but which doesn't matter because it's giving you your placement in reality. That's a get of drosh v'kabel sachar, that you're able to understand your place in the Torah. That's the actual, the banita beitecha. That's your own special, unique home to your own design. Beautiful. Okay, the next thing the Mishnah says, that you're not chayzer, if you're bona bechar, mirpeset, tana. And then we have the last thing, this as usual, it gives us the opening, which is the wrong opening, because what it's really referring to is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says that if you built a bayis on the same place that you had the old house, and you tore it down, that's not considered to be a bayit chadash. So the Braisa says, but if there's anything that is new and expanded, even if it's just one dimus echad, one extra row of bricks, so it's a taller wall, a thicker wall, all of that makes it a new house. Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah that if you build a house in the Sharon with bricks, local bricks, also that's not considered to be a permanent home. Tana, why is that? In the course of one Shemitah period, every 7 years, you're going to have to be mechadish that house twice in order for it to stand. And then the Mishnah talks about ki kach ish isha chadasha lo yetze batzava velo yavor alav lechol davar naki yelaveto shana chad v'simachet ishto asher lakach. They don't even go out at all. So if he's already married and he hasn't yet had 1 year with his wife, he does not even go out to hear what the Kohen says. Tanu Rabbana. Isha chadasha. So you might think that means literally a new wife in the sense that she's never slept with anyone. So she must be a bitula. So in the Ela Isha Chadasha, mamash, what about an almana? What about a grusha? How do we know that that's included in Isha Chadasha? Talmud Lomar, Isha, mikol makom. Now that obviously can't be the same Isha. That's talking about the repetition at the end of the pasuk. After it says, Kikach ish Isha Chadasha, it says, V'simach et ishto asher lakach. What does that have to do? V'simach uta. So V'simach et ishto asher lakach is adding any Isha asher lakach, whoever it is that he took, mikol makom. So that if that's the case, then why did it say even Isha Chadasha? Ah, that is similar to the din of Rabbi Yehuda about the bayit. If he rebuilds the same bayit, that's not called building a bayit. I think it's true over here. It has to be chadasha lo. But if he was already married to the same woman, and now he divorces her and he takes her back, that's a machzir grushato. That is not considered to be an isha chadasha. She'eno chadasha lo. Tana Rabbana. So when it says lo yetze batzava, so you might have thought lo yetze batzava means in the actual fighting army. So yachol betzava hu de lo yetze, but he certainly has to join the engineering corps. Yaspik mayimu mazon yetaken drachim. I mean, he should work in the kitchen. No, he should draw water. He should fix the roads. Talmud lomar velo yavor alav lechol davar yochol shanim arbe. That this is true, you might think even in the case of the three steps that we had before this. Bona bayit velo chanacho, nota kerem velo chilalo, eras yisha velo lekacha, which we said adarabah. He does have to go. He doesn't go home. Talmud lomar, davka alav lechol davar. Alav yata ma'avir, but you are definitely ma'avir on the other cases that are listed over here in the Divrei Mashuach Milchama. So that means that once the person has already begun his marriage, then he's not interrupted during that year. So if it says lo yavar lechol davar, so then why does it say lo yetze batzava? If he doesn't even go out to be asked to drive on the roads, to fix the roads, to cook things, obviously he doesn't go out to the actual war. So why do you have to mention lo yetze batzava? That's to add an additional lav. Lavor alav bishnei lavin. That if he goes out to war, he'll be over on two separate lavin. Now there's an amazing, amazing Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam learns, I'll read it to you, that this is a different mitzvah. Hu shetzivanu lehityached hachatan im ishto shana tmima, shelo yetze chutz leir, velo yetze latzava, velo yavor alav davar biadvarim adomim laelu, ela yisamach ima ad melot lo shana tmima. This is unbelievable. So he learns that the actual mitzvah d'oraita is naki yeleveto, that he should not leave town for a full year to leave his wife alone. The chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch Mamash goes to town on this. He talks about the concept of imprinting. You know, we want you to be next to your wife for, it's all we need is for you to be going to China, you know, and having the hotel send you a whore every night, you know, and this is during your first year of marriage, God help us, before you've even imprinted a relationship. No, we need you to stick to the same woman for a year. Then maybe you'll get used to the idea that, you know, you really have a wife, you should stay with your wife. Amazing. But it even goes into the Shoshei HaMitzvah, right? Now, this is really astounding because we don't find elsewhere that that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. I mean, it's very nice, and it's certainly a hanhaga nechona that we learned from it. None of the achronim bring that halacha l'maisa. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but this is the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, my God. So this is pretty tough stuff, you know. People think this Shana Rishona stuff is, yeah, it's cute, it's nice, but it's really only applicable to the army. Says the Rambam and the Chinuch, not like that. Quite amazing. Okay, and now it's time for our very own, we're in trouble.
Everyone, I was in a 600-year-old Berber village that's partially cut into caves in the mountain, and they terrace the mountain so there's rows and rows of houses and areas for animals. But the outside part is built with stones covered with mud and clay. And what happened in 1968, 1969, there and a number of different communities, the rains were so hard that it collapsed the houses and hundreds of people died. So the government made these people leave these villages and build them new towns. Mamish Anshei HaSharon.
Amazing. Beautiful. Okay, but this brings us to our very own neighborhood with our very own on-the-ball Capitan, radar, sonar running, his hat tightly perched against the wind on his head. He sails the ocean blue, and he introduces... just in time for Dr. Barry. V'yasvu hatrotrim v'daber la'am. So then remember the last part is... Mia ish ayore v'rachalivav yelech v'yashuv l'veto v'lo yimas, etc., etc. So what exactly is a yore v'rachalivav? So Rabbi Akiva says, it means what it says. The guy falls apart. He just doesn't have the guts. Eino yachol la'amod b'kishrei milchama. He simply just can't take it. Nir'ot cherev shlufa. He sees guns aimed at him. He sees swords drawn. And he's just like, oh, God, I can't take it. Okay, so then that's all we need is to have faint-hearted people out there. We don't need somebody sitting there and demoralizing the troops. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili Omer, and here at last we get to the shita that we've been discussing this whole time of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Yorei v'racha levav is a mityarei min ha'averot shebiyado. And... once you see that it means that this guy is scared of his own behavior, so then that means that he's going to be under tremendous pressure not to leave, right? Because is he going to go to the commander? He's going to say, listen, sir, you know, everybody's hanging around. I got to go home. What do you mean you got to go home? Well, I got to tell you, I've done some bank robberies over the past week. He's not going to do that, right? So, I mean, if that's the case, the Torah therefore gives us the other cases where lots of people are leaving, you know. People are leaving because they built a new house. People are leaving because they got married. So he comes and he leaves too. Nobody thinks anything strange about that. But if only the Yorei V'rach HaLevav from Yaveira Shebiyoto was leaving, I mean, you can imagine that we would have, you know, True Confessions magazine that would be sitting there snapping snapshots of everybody that leaves home. Let's find out what he did. Right? Unbelievable. So according to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, the whole surah takes on a different thing. We're just trying to get rid of the kind of people in a nice way that we don't want demoralizing our... So the fichach taltalo atorah koelo sheyachzor biglalan. He can pretend that he's going back like with everybody else, but lemaisa. Now, obviously, he's going to have to explain why he's going back to the commander. But it's no longer something that is. As a matter of fact, la halacha, he has to bring edim. He can't just say. He has to bring edim. I bought a new house, or I did such and such an avera. He can't just say get out of the war by saying any of these things. Okay, but that he could do in private. But the fact that he left doesn't prove anything. Rabbi Yossi Omer, an almana l'kohen gadol, a grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, that we remember it from the pasuk. Those kind of things, mamzeret in the tinal Yisrael, bat Yisrael, mamzer v'lenetin, that's the kind of thing that scares a guy. So what's the difference between that and Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? We're still talking about avera shebiyado. The Gemara obviously will ask that and explain it. V'haya kechalot ha-shoterim v'daber la'am u'pokdu sarei tzva'ot b'rosh ha'am. Now, even though it says in the pasuk b'rosh ha'am, says the Mishnah, but there's also sarim that are appointed behind the machne, ba'akevo shalam. So the ones that were in front, lifnehem, they are ma'amidim zikifin. So there we have people in front, special people who were skilled in getting people up. They're first responders. So if somebody is hurt, either psychologically, physically, the first responder gets him back up, gets him back into the war encourages him or gets him out to the hospital, but we don't have people lying on the ground in the war. The Acherim, there's other people that are behind, and they have Kishilim Shel Barzel Bideihem. They have these big hammers, or some learn that they're actual axes that they use. Anybody that wants to try to run, they could go ahead and smash their legs. Harishut biyado lefakeach et shokav. Why? Shetchilat nisa nefila. Actually, the end of Gemara is going to reverse the language over here, because tchilat usually means the catalyst. So the catalyst of nefila is when people start running. People start running, that's going to be the end of your war. And we see that. Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim, v'gam magifa gedola hayta ba'am. So first it was people started running, then the whole thing collapsed. And we find also, v'yanusu anshei Yisrael mipnei plishtim, v'yiplu chalalim. So it's the nisa that creates the disaster. So b'me dvar mamuri, all of these things that we've been talking about, who gets to leave and who doesn't even go out, that's a milchemes harishus. But a milchemes mitzvah, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara, hakol yotzim, afilu chatan michedro, kala michupata. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the question over here is, does this include Shevet Levi? Does this mean to fight? Or does this mean to support? Would we mean that the kala michupata is given a gun to shoot, even though noshim ein darkam shal noshim latzeit lemilchama? Does it mean that she is given a job in the army? Okay, all of these questions, as I said, big discussions, halacha lemaisa. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you got it wrong. Mitzvah, but a milchemet chova. There are kol yotzim, afilu chatan michedro, v'kala michupata. So we need to understand what the difference is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Now it's clear that both Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yossi understand ha'ish ha'yori v'rach ha'levav in terms of their own personal behavior. So what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi, who says we're talking about Amana l'kohen gadol, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says from an avera biyadav? Ike b'neu avera d'rabanan. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, any avera, even if it was an avera d'rabanan, would be enough to get you to go back. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we're talking about only an avera on the level of Amana l'kohen gadol and so on. And when it says in the Brice that I'm going to tell you right now, somebody who spoke between putting on his tefillin shel yad and his tefillin shel rosh, that's called an avera, and he's chozer ala miyorchei milchama. I mean, that's an avera, the araisa, that you were going to call? No, you're right. That's going according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, what avera is that, by the way? Even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, Rashi says an amazing thing. Rashi says it doesn't mean he spoke. It means he spoke and then he didn't make a second bracha on the Shel Rosh, and he relied on the first bracha after making a hefsek. So what he did wrong was he put on his Shel Rosh without a bracha. I mean, but that would mean that anytime somebody misses a bracha, so that's considered to be an avera shechozer alav. That's quite amazing. Tosfos learns, no, it's the fact that he was geirem a bracha that was eina tzricha. So that's already the use of the Shem Hashem Shelo Letzorech. That's the point, which of course raises the question. What about according to people who make two brochas all the time? It's always a brocha Shein Tzricha. So what about that? And what about if you're talking about those weirdos who put on their tefillin during Chol HaMoed, of course, present company excluded. All cases where you don't make a brocha because of the suffix or whatever. So what about there? Would that mean that over there it's not considered to be a problem? Is there an issue of the hefsek per se? Now, what's interesting is that in the Yerushalmi it brings, afilu sach ben yishtabach liyotzer. Now, that means there's certainly no brachal of atala over there, right? So it's the hefsek per se that we're talking about, according to the Yerushalmi. Okay, so this is where Rabbi Rashi has a totally different approach. Anyway, so what about this bright? Mantan al-Hadatan Rabbanan. Shema kol kranot virtia. The guy starts shaking when he hears the sounds of the enemy's approaching trumpets. The guy goes into convulsions. Hagavat Trisin. He hears the sound of those smashing, you know, sounds like a giant army is coming, the shields. And he's shaking in his pants. Tichtua Charavot, the guy sees the shining of these approaching swords, and there's water running down his knees. This guy is pissing in his pants. I mean, this is really a serious problem. That he's Chozer. Kiman, is that only according to Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva says it means Kipshutai, that he's Yore Eino Yocholamo Bekishrei Milchama, and not Rabbi Yossi Aglili. No, in this case, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili is made that. So the pashtus is, in this case, that where the person is so obviously disabled, that even Rabbi Yossi Aglili is made, but not from the words of Miayore Virach Alevav, but rather from the words V'lo Yimas et Levav Achav. That's the point. So this is, I mean, look, what are we talking about over here? Let's first of all, look at the difference, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. A person was sach between yishtabach and yoitzer. He's not allowed, according to most of the shittas, he's not allowed to be in the war. I mean, contrast this with the way that the goyim, the lowest possible people, are the ones who are in the war. Look at this Wagner group. Look at the Russian army. Criminals, murderers. Those are the people that they sent to war. And when the goyim would fight, the mobs that would accompany the soldiers, the gang rapes, the shooting down of the Jews, the stealing everything from all of the homes. I mean, this is mamish. Here you're talking about shinayich ke'eder aizim, shinayich the bites, meaning of Yisrael, the teeth of Yisrael, the morality of Yisrael. They're clean as an eder of aizim. Look at the way that Yisrael fights wars today, yesterday. The care not to kill anybody that isn't themselves directly involved. The difference between Yisrael and the Amim and the way that the Amim come to vilify Yisrael. I mean, it's kol lashona layach takim tashi. It's mamish utilizing lashon hara, the filthiness. There's such a distinction. This is, I mean, it's mamish beyond belief, because everything that we're doing is in order to be loichem for the benefit of the world. That's the only thing that you're thinking of, is what is achieved for the world in this, what's achieved for making things better. That's the question. So as the Rambam says, that the idea is, mi'achar shi'ikanes b'kishrei ha'milchama, beautiful Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, once a person starts fighting, Yish'an ha-mikveh Yisrael ha-moshiyo be'itzara. This is based on the words of the Kohen Gadol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there and he's going to save you. But you have to believe that and not be worried, not be anisha yore v'rach ha-levav. And if you don't, then you're going to destroy everything. The yeda, the man has to know, she'al yichud Hashem hu oseh milchama. He is fighting for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shame. V'yasim nafsho bekapo, v'lo yira, v'lo yefached, no fear, no trembling, lo yachshov, don't even think for a moment about your possible death, about the impact on your children, on your wife. There's no wife, lo b'ishto, lo b'manav, listen to the language, yimche zichronam b'levavo, yemach zichram. Wipe out any thought of anything. You have nothing else in mind. Lamilchama. The moment, says the Rambam, that you start to think about anything, that is when you're over the Yisr a lot. Kol hamatchil lachshov, ulaharher b'milchama, and now he gets himself all nervous. Mavhil atzmo, over below tase. This is not just good advice that the Kohen is giving you. This is a lota sediraita. Al tiru, al techpozu, al tarzu. And not only that, as if that's not bad enough, says the Rambam. Ela shekol d'mei Yisrael tluyim b'tzavaro. anybody who is killed in this war is on your neck. This guy is a murderer. To be cursed if you don't pull that trigger. He is absolutely guaranteed. Muftachlo. Sholo yimatzei nezek. He will not be hurt. Lo tigieu ra'ah. Nothing bad can happen to him. V'yivnelo bayit nechon b'Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yizak elo ulevanav ad olam. V'yizkeh lechayei olam haba. It's amazing. He learns this from the words of Avigail to David HaMelech. Shenema ki aso yaseh Hashem la'adoni bayit ne'eman. Ki milchamot Hashem Adoni nilcham. V'ra'a lo timtza b'cha. V'ayta nefesh Adoni tzura b'tzora chayim. Et Hashem Elokecha. It says the Rambam, this is nogea kol yochid v'yochid. Astounding. So this is the amazing, beautiful story of one of our chaburov, Yehuda Kramer. Listens in also to the daf, just never shows his face. He's one of the Kleiman clan over here. No camera. Anyway. So he's.
Hey, I was just going to say that this is where Rebbe tells the story.
Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry, but there's always new people, so I can't afford not to say it. I know that I'm repeating myself, but listen, in the Sharon, they repeated themselves twice every 7 years. I only repeat myself once every 7 years, so it should be mutter. I apologize for all those who have heard the story before, but it's such a beautiful story of Yehuda Kramer, who was driving a tank, right? And he's in that tank in the war with Syria, and the shells are getting closer and closer. They're aiming in on the tank, right? So each shell gets a little closer, and he can't get the tank in gear. It's not moving. And he's stuck. The next shell is going to hit him. And he says, I don't understand. It's a beferish, a Rambam, that someone who doesn't think about anything at all and is loichem with all of his kavona, that no ra'ah can be motzei him. But what the hell is going on over here? At that second room, the tank starts moving. He gets out of the way within a second of the shell that hit where his tank had been. Mamish by quoting the Lashon of the Rambam. Beautiful story. Okay, anyway, so going weiter. So now we have this interesting machlokas. The Tanakhama says, Bamed Varim Amurim Bilmachemet Harashut. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Bamed Varim Amurim Bilmachemet Mitzvah. Aval Bilmachemet Chova. I understand. What exactly are they arguing in? Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Look, you need to understand. First of all, let's figure out what there's obviously a machlokas, which I'll explain to you. But the main issue over here is actually semantic. Why? It's not really just semantic, because there's a big nafkamina. What we're trying to do is we're trying to say that there's two different types of wars. Now, you can refer to that as war type one, or war type two. You can refer to that as the difference between Milchemes Rishus, Milchemes Mitzvah. You can refer to that as the difference between Milchemes Mitzvah and Milchemes Chova, which is more than just a mitzvah. It's absolutely, you must do this. I don't care how you refer to it. You can refer to it as, you know, war and war plus. What? That's semantic. That's the main issue over here. They're talking about the same thing. So to distinguish between war level one and war level two, the Rabbanan are using the word, the difference between Rishus and Mitzvah. To distinguish the same thing, Rabbi Yehuda is using the word, distinguish between Milchemes Mitzvah and Milchemes Rishus. Why? That's because Rabbi Yehuda wants to point out that fighting any level of war is a mitzvah. Why is that important? Because of the din of Isaac b'mitzvah, Potter b'na mitzvah. So if you call this a rishus, he says to the rabbanon, so people are going to think that you're supposed to stop fighting in order to put on your tefillin. Okay, so you need to know a isuk b'mitzvah, potur min ha-mitzvah. So I insist on calling your milchemes ha-rishus a milchemes mitzvah, not because it's a different type of war. And therefore, to distinguish that from war level two, I'll use the word chova. Now, the Mishnah obviously is not saying that this is only a semantic argument and it's nogea only isuk b'mitzvah, potur min ha-mitzvah alone, because Rabbi Yehuda restates the whole thing, b'meh dvarim amurim. Which means that there's got to be some place where there's actually a machlokas between them, according to which the Rabbanan don't hold that it's Isuk B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. And that's why this whole thing is Kedai. We're going to need to figure out what that category of war would be, because that would mean essentially we're talking about three categories of war. Okay, so then let me explain it to you. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. First of all, you have to understand the semantics. The word reshus, of according to the Rabbanan, and that class of war, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with 100%. It's just he's calling that a mitzvah. What the Rabbanan are calling the mitzvah, that class of war, he is calling a chova. And they're actually not arguing about that at all. They're arguing about another thing that's only a remez over here, and that is what case is the war called a mitzvah in terms of Isuk b'mitzvah, Potur min ha-mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, listen, I don't think it's a good idea to call it a reshus, because we're all agreed it's a mitzvah, right? In terms of Isuk b'mitzvah, Potur min ha-mitzvah. So therefore, says Rava, okay, but then what's that interim category? So I'll explain it to you. Let's take the extremes. The Milchama of Yehoshua to Kfish HaSa'aretz. That is an absolute chiyav. You cannot get out of that. Everybody is made of that's a chovah. The Rabbanu want to call it a mitzvah, call it a mitzvah. That's ultimately chovah, and for sure, there's no question. The milchamot of Beit David. So David went to war in order to gain Barnea's neighborhoods, right? So there need to be new places for Barnea to visit. He needs to be able to put up new signs and so on. So David HaMelech went to war to be able to expand the boundaries, because otherwise, what are the tour guides going to do? So that is rivacha. That's called... That's just to get these people to start paying taxes, to recognize the ascendancy of Eretz Yisrael, and so on. That's fine. Everybody agrees that that is called reshus, okay? That's fine. The question about wars, lema'ute ovde kachovim dolo laisu alayu. The question is, binogea, a war like the war of today. So what was the point of going out and attacking Gaza? The point was exactly this. It's essentially a preemptive type of war in which, as the Mefarshim explained, you have Goyim that from time to time attack Jews. They don't represent an actual threat to Eretz Yisrael. But you need to scare them and to create a harta'ah. So what you do is you go out and you just go and attack them for the hell of it. So it looks to people. But the point of it is, lema'ute of the kachovim. You know, let's get rid of their commanders. Let's get, in order that they shouldn't come and cause deaths by terrorism. So that question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is called a mitzvah, and it's poter min ha-mitzvah. Even though you didn't have to do it, but you go out and do such a thing, then you don't put on your tefillin while you're being Isaac in this. It's Patur Ben HaMitzvah. Masha Inkein, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. Listen, you don't have to go out now to go bust up this war. So put on your tefillin. Then you'll go and kill him. Okay? That is the machlokas. But in terms of everything else, everybody is made up. Hadron Alach Mashuach Milchama. What a wonderful, wonderful chizuk to see. What it is that Yisrael has in mind, Yisrael, B'tach B'Hashem, those of you old enough to remember the Six-Day War, where every tank and every truck and every bus had the big sign put on it, Yisrael, B'tach B'Hashem, the incredible nisim that are done with that type of feeling and that type of emunah, is mamish, exactly like the Rambam says. It's absolutely astounding. So we should be zoche, Bezus Hashem, that these types of nisim, b'meheira v'yameinu, Hadron Alok Mashuach Milchama and Bezrat Hashem Mitzoy Shabbos.